All righty, Joel Radio back with you. How you doing out there? Another fun show. You know, I think I'll stop doing the podcast when something stupid in comedy doesn't happen on any given week. But more dumb stuff happens, so we're going to talk about that today. I have a returning co-host today, a man who's been, what, about a year maybe?
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I was trying to remember what I was driving at the
time. Yeah, what was that?
I can't remember if it was my truck or this little car.
All right. Well, it's Kevin Kramus, as we call him in comedy. Famous Kevin Kramus.
That's right,
which
Joel.
Which is a great nickname.
Roger in Ann Arbor.
Roger gave that to you? That. Well, that's good. That's
he
cool.
started saying Famous Amos Kramus.
Well, if that's true, then I should be
Roger.
Joel Big Dick Fregimenti, because it would be absolutely... Because you're not famous. No, I'm kidding. Kevin Kramus, we talked to you. I know we talked about your announcing and all that stuff last time.
I do whatever it takes.
It all. Comedy. You're at the Comedy Castle.
Next week. If that means anything to anybody when they listen to this in July.
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle here, and that's the week of what? February? February. Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Joe DeVito's headlining.
Groundhog's Day.
Okay.
I will be there.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that holiday.
So come see Kevin over at the Comedy Castle.
With Joe DeVito, and I'm not sure who else is on the show.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up, but
you know,
it'll be a good show.
Yeah.
You and Joe, that's enough.
Joe's great. I just
whoever the
him.
Other guy is, he can't suck enough to make you and Joe not a good show.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, Joe DeVito's
great. I always love
great.
Working there.
Yeah. I was dating this girl last year. Joe DeVito was at the club, and he had lots of jokes. He has lots of jokes about dating, you know.
Yeah.
And so much of it was about her. Even though it wasn't about her, but she came and watched, and I went, man, I can relate to all that shit he was saying, you know?
And is she gone now? That girl's gone?
She's gone. Yeah. She died. It was tragic death. It was, nothing like that. We're just not together.
Just a bad Uber
but
ride?
But it was like, you know, she would go, you know, Joe has stuff about, you know, dating a bipolar girl.
Right, right,
you got to catch her on the up.
Yeah,
and I
that's
go, oh,
true.
That's you, honey. That's exactly, yeah.
That's
so
very
we were
funny.
Doomed to fail. But when he was there, things were great.
I won't date nobody on meds.
Well,
I will not.
When
do
you,
I
but when do
it.
You? But I, okay. But when do you find out if they're on it?
The first time they go to the bathroom and they leave their purse at the table.
Oh my goodness! Well, you're a bigger dirtbag than I am. Who knew?
I just take my camera.
Yeah.
And put the phone and just run the phone through the camera, and then later on
for an orange bottle.
Yeah.
And then you're all set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You're allowed to do that, aren't you? Isn't it a purse biopsy?
I don't know if it's illegal. It might be. Illegal.
I didn't say it was legal. I didn't say I'm not a lawyer, Joel.
And if she
just
and if
trying
she,
to find somebody that won't be crazy.
And if she has a bottle, she'll never know that you know.
Right.
And yeah. And right. If she doesn't, she'll never know.
Well,
that you
I'm
look.
Usually gone when she comes back to the table.
Throw down $20 for the check and get the fuck out of there.
I mean, if it's more than Xanax, I am gone, brother. If it's a psychotropic, one of the big three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you decide if you want to steal those. And if you don't,
no,
then
I
you,
wouldn't
just,
even
you
go
don't
near.
Do
I wouldn't
no?
Go near.
Pill, no pills?
No.
You
brother.
Medicate, though.
No, not with that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I know. But yeah.
Just for my glaucoma. It's legal.
I have an eating disorder. I'm not. I don't have the munchies.
I do, man. That's why I run.
Well, you're
man.
Thin. You're super thin. Now you've been. I know we talked because we were talking about my weight loss a year ago because I was kind of finishing that. But you've gotten really fit in the last how many years now?
A year and a half,
okay,
2 years,
wow.
A couple years,
and you just ran a marathon.
In October.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm going to applaud
the,
for that.
The Detroit Windsor International Marathon.
So where do you run then? Is it actually you run through Detroit and Windsor?
Yeah, 26.2 miles.
The bridge, tunnel? What do you
do? You cross the bridge. It's about mile marker 3.
Wow.
You run through Windsor. You come back through the tunnel.
Oh, my goodness.
You run down around the east side. You come back through Belle Isle. Run downtown. Finish right downtown. It's spectacular, man. It's a great day.
I bet that would be cool.
The first half is great. I tell everybody since I did it, that international half, it's the only day you can do the bridge and the tunnel by foot.
Oh, okay. So you do both.
Yeah.
It's like the circuit
you
is
go
bridge,
to
tunnel.
Canada,
My
run
goodness.
Through Windsor,
wow.
Come back through the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could do that. I think
13 miles, man. It's the half's 13 miles. And you can walk it.
I think I would have to stop for a lap dance and then some duty free shopping.
You can do that.
And that's all allowed?
Yeah, man, it's all allowed. It is such a great day.
Some Swiss Chalet chicken, maybe. I'd have that.
I was at Cheetah's for 25 minutes and still did 5:11.
Well, it's good to have Kevin here. I'm glad that. Well, you look great.
Thanks, man.
You look like a million bucks. And how old am I? If you don't mind saying, you're.
I just passed the half century.
Oh my God! Again, another round of applause.
Aren't you here? You're here, aren't you? Are you not here yet?
50?
Yeah.
No, I'm a long.
No, you're not.
But I'm a ways. I'm a ways away. I got some time.
It's all true, man. All the stuff that happens.
Yeah.
You go to the doctor. I had all that. It's been 3 weeks. I got these.
How long have you had? Well, those readers.
A week.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is that nearsighted? Are you nearsighted then?
I am blind.
You're just fucking, that's it. Well, again, the glaucoma is catching up to you.
I don't have glaucoma, but it's in the family, 3 generations deep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think.
I am fucking blind.
Are you really?
I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea. I couldn't see you until I went to the eye doctor to be checked for glaucoma.
Right.
For real.
Yeah, yeah.
2 weeks ago.
Huh.
And he goes, I'm going to fit. He goes, you don't have glaucoma. You're close. He did say that. And he goes, well, I'll fit you with glasses. And I go, well, I wear Cheetahs. He goes, well, I'm going to give you a prescription for glasses.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, well, I need them. He goes, well, it'll improve your eyesight.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, really? You know, I'm like, I was like questioning the doctor. Yeah, yeah. I'm questioning the guy who's been doing this for years, you know? Well, I pick him up a week later and I walk out of the eye place.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I almost cried.
Yeah.
I can see.
I went through that in my 20s.
I didn't know you lost weight. I feel so bad. People have been telling me you lost weight.
Right.
I shook your hand.
Yeah.
I've been in the car.
There it is.
I couldn't fucking see you, Joel.
I got glasses in my 20s.
That's,
you know, I went through high school, college without glasses.
Distance?
Yeah, I can't see far away, you know. Although I think now that I've worn glasses for probably almost 20 years, it's my eyes are getting worse. You know what I mean by that?
Because of the...
When you get used to wearing the glasses, I think it hurts your regular vision. But still, you can, you know, for me, it's like I can't watch television or a movie without them. You know, I could drive and not hit anything. Reading the street signs would be difficult, you know. But other than that, yeah, I need them for far away.
If stop signs weren't shaped that way, I would be fucked, I guess.
You see, now people have GPS and stuff, so you could even just, you know, if your phone's only 3 feet from your face when you're driving, you what do you need the street signs for, essentially?
Yeah,
I mean, I guess.
Right,
I don't know.
I don't use my GPS.
Well, how'd you get here?
I knew where you live.
I've
been here before.
I know.
I'm a comic. You like you go one place, just you go. Know where it's at.
You're like a donkey. You
yeah,
just kind of
exactly.
know where to go.
I know where to go.
All right, we're going to Ann Arbor tonight.
Exactly.
We're going that way. All right, so you're doing all that, and what else is going on with you? I know we talked about a couple things.
Did we talk about a couple of things?
I don't know. I can't even read my own writing. Oh, you went to the Middle East on tour.
Yeah, I did a tour for Navy Entertainment with a guy named Brian Cork. You know Brian?
I don't.
Comic from Chicago?
I don't.
Big 6'6" bald guy and me skipping through the Middle East. A weird gay couple on vacation.
Well, where in the Middle East did you go?
We went to Bahrain.
Okay.
Djibouti, Africa. Whoa. And Crete in Greece.
Wow. And we have American troops in all those places?
We do.
Wow, I did not even realize that.
We have troops, Joel, like all over the place. All over. There's troops everywhere.
Detroit.
There's troops in Detroit. They're everywhere.
Ferndale doesn't have. Well, we have Navy guys, but they're on leave.
Yeah, right, exactly. I had no idea that was like that.
They're in the bar. They're in the bars at night.
That is more true than you think.
Oh, the Navy guys are homos?
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
I had no idea.
Because you were on a Navy thing, so this is Navy.
We were told this.
What, they sit you down for a meeting with the Navy,
we
and they go, there's
a
lot of homosexuals
here. Crete, and they were in with a couple of guys
were
at the show, and they were telling us.
Huh.
We did radio, and they told us the guy that interviewed us on the radio was... And, I don't care.
I don't care either.
I
mean,
really care. And I'm not even looking in that
situation. No.
Not that I'm looking, but.
Hey, man, I live in Ferndale.
You know, right.
And I'm a single man who's not married at my age. And people go, well, that's a fag. You know,
right.
But even though I'm not, you know, so you can't be bothered by it or else you.
Right.
You know, but let me ask you this about the Navy. You know, they have some firsthand experience at it in homosexuals. Are you Because, you know, the theory, I guess there's two schools of thought. Well, here it is. Do you want to be with a man because you're stuck on a boat with just men for months on end?
No.
Or are gay guys, like, attracted to the Navy in some way? Is it a chicken and the egg kind of thing?
I don't have any idea. I do know this. And the more that we get older and we're around younger people, gender and that kind of stuff doesn't matter to you.
No, I think so. I agree.
Like, don't ask, don't tell. That might mean something to our generation in most cases, and maybe still to a select part of the population that's our age and older. Huh. But younger people, I don't think they care.
No, I don't think they care either. Again, they
weren't, you know, they weren't joking about it. Like, they told us, they said, the guy that interviewed on the radio, he's gay. He's going out with a 6-foot-tall Greek hairdresser.
Yeah.
Like, you know, thinking, why would you even be telling us?
Well, then the Greeks have that reputation, you know? Too.
Yeah, and I'm Greek, and I'm not.
I
don't really care.
It's a crazy
thing. Yeah, it was a cool tour, man. Bahrain was, do you know anything about Bahrain?
Not really.
It's an island in the middle of the Persian Gulf.
Okay.
About 25 kilometers by bridge to Saudi Arabia.
Okay, all right.
To the eastern edge of Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And it's one of the few places in the Middle East where there's booze and gambling. And
well, that sounds good, yeah.
Prostitution. It's the Vegas of the Middle East.
And I would take it that it is wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Saudi Arabia is wealthy, and then you get, like, the United Arab Emirates, which is, like, the wealthiest
place
on
Earth. That's off the hook. We had a layover there. That's
oh, did you really?
Hook.
Did you go to, like, Dubai, or what's the other
Dubai.
One?
We had a layover in Dubai.
There's two big ones there, right? Dubai and...
We were in Qatar.
Yeah.
We were in Dubai.
Yeah.
The Dubai airport, we didn't leave Dubai.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We had a 12-hour layover, and we could have, but we just didn't feel... We couldn't find as much information about it to actually do it.
Yeah.
Shorthand, you know, last minute. We did do that in Netherlands.
Okay.
We went into Amsterdam.
Found some things there.
It was great. It was great.
But Dubai is a place.
But Dubai
is. It's wealthy, but there's no booze. And apparently you can't. I don't even think it's like homosexuals. It's like if you're with your wife, you can't publicly kiss.
Oh, yeah.
They're really, like, strict.
Sharia law.
Yeah. It's really super strict.
In Bahrain, and I'm sure this is real true in the rest of the Middle East, in Bahrain, like, during Sharia law, during Ramadan, I don't know how much you know about the Muslim faith.
But, not that much.
You know, Ramadan, they fast all day long. They eat at night for 30 days.
Okay.
So during Ramadan in the Middle East, where the Sharia law is real strict, if you're outside, anybody is outside, they catch me drinking a glass of water, nibbling on any. I don't know. Maybe you can bite your fingernails.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a criminal offense.
Oh, my God.
You go to jail.
Jeez.
So you stand on the water outside in the desert.
So any food, fasting, no food, no water.
In public, anywhere.
Wow.
They see you.
Jeez.
The cops see you.
Yeah.
You go to jail.
Yeah, I'll stay here. Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm sure a comedy tour is fun, but
that's
about it.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Wow. All right. So good shows, though. And those are good money. I mean, you don't have to give me the details, but those are worth it.
They're really not.
They're not great. Well, I mean.
I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
They call it memoriam. Is that what they call them? It's the word they use. They use it. They give you basically a per diem a day.
Okay.
Which is, and then a commission is taken out of that daily per diem by the person that books you over there.
Okay.
So we ended up with about $1.25 a day.
Okay, well, that's... But
all expenses...
I was going to say all expenses paid versus...
Yeah, we're not complaining.
...driving to gigs in the Midwest.
We're giving back.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
right.
What we're... You
right.
feel...
Yeah. So you're compensated. You basically take
absolutely.
A cool trip for pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a good time.
I mean, when people go, oh, you're making... I mean, it's not...
Yeah, no, but
money.
I mean...
It's not...
Well, believe me, when I talk about it's good money, I'm talking comedy road good money.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I guess in that respect, it's
good. Middle money.
Yeah, middle money. Believe me, I know that.
And all the travel and a hotel.
Yeah,
and they put us up in a 5-star hotel.
That's fantastic.
Bahrain
and
in Greece.
Oh. Yeah, because I talked about it last show. I went out with Hildebrandt, did a road gig for the first time.
Yeah, I heard that. I did about
5 years.
Yeah. How cold was it?
Oh, it was one of those nights. You know, where it was, you know, below zero.
How cold was it in the warehouse?
Oh, yeah, because you did the winery,
did
too.
It.
Yeah, you did.
I think
we were the second show.
You were. I was
one.
The first show.
It was horribly cold.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And they had heaters, but you needed to sort of sit where the heater was. And if you didn't, it was, you know. So I watched the show
below that.
I watched the show from the crowd, and it was, you know,
I'm watching Hildebrandt, and I'm like, I just want to warm up, please. But it was a nice thing, and then
it's
you know,
a great gig. Yeah. It was fun. I had a blast, it was fun. Sir.
And then I you know, I did that as a favor to Bill, as a favor to Melissa.
To
Hayes,
Melissa,
who books it.
Yeah, I love her.
And then I go, oh, I'm done with the road. This is it. Thank God.
Now you're going back out.
And I, God damn it, they fucking.
That's not the road.
And another
you're going
friend.
To Northville. No. Going to North, you were not
I really
road.
Am a,
you went to Frankenmuth
I really am a
Northville.
Pussy. No, I'm a complete pussy about the road now. I go, oh, God, I got to go. Yeah, Northville is probably 40 minutes from my house.
Yeah, Northville is Frankenmuth yeah. without chicken. I mean,
so I'm playing in
you should play the same town all over the state.
I'm playing in Northville on March the 3rd. Again, favor was asked by Bob Phillips to do this fundraiser for him. Jeff Dwoskin's going to be on the
It's
going to
be a blast.
Well.
That's a cool
it
place.
It should be, yeah. I've been to a show there. I think I saw, I think after, you know, not to get, but after Ben Constantine died, we
yeah,
did a
yeah.
fundraiser for him there. And so I've been in that building. It's nice. And so I'll be there March 3rd if you want to see me quit comedy again. Come March 3rd and
You're
I will
funny,
go there.
Joe,
I know. But I, you know, I mean, part of it is that I've told, you know, I never want to live that life where I need a gig to survive.
Yeah, right.
That is
right,
a bad
right.
feeling.
Oh, I know.
And you can relate. But you do other. I mean, everybody's got that side hustle, and you know, you're doing announcing and all that stuff. And so, you know, you try to not do it. But, you know, I got Bob and I hooked up at the 51st Stroke show. I think I talked about that on our last show. And he saw me there and went like, oh, Joel will come do it. He's doing this show.
I got to get on that show 1 year. I haven't been in the business long enough to get on those shows.
Or you're not new enough.
I've only been in over 30.
Well, I think when I was breaking that down last time, you know, 50 comics, 20 guys who's ever been paid to do comedy.
Yeah, no,
I know. It's
I
not,
the
there's
yeah,
not
yeah,
a
yeah.
real
I always
high threshold.
Bust balls about it.
But it's fine.
It's
and
a
then
good
I,
lineup, though.
No, it was yeah. it's that's a pretty fun show. I mean, again, I'm not real, you know, I really... When it comes to like writing new stuff, I'm really hard on myself, and I did it 2 years ago, and I think people will tell you I had the, you know, if anyone could remember 2 years ago aside from me, they would say I had probably the best set of the night. This one recently, not the best set of the night, you know, so I sort of had high expectations. But then I did a thing. I did storytelling for the first time since I was on the show last. Do you ever do one of those?
I'm thinking about doing that.
Well, there's a million
I'm
of them
thinking
now.
About I know
there's a million of them now. And I did this now.
I've done it. I did it years ago in
okay.
acting class. But
okay, yeah.
Never.
Yeah. So I did that, and I had a good story. It's a story I probably told on the show in one form or another without having written it down, but about how I got to be in the movie The 5-Year Engagement. I've told that story. It's a Judd Apatow production and all that stuff. And I was an extra, but I got plucked out of the extras to be on camera, which was awesome. And, you know, now that movie is filled with, you know, Kevin Hart as a little tiny role, you know, kind of before he was famous. Chris Pratt was in that movie in a small role. So it's like now it's like this all-star lineup.
So you're like next to really
yeah,
it,
you
to
would
bust
think.
It. Yeah.
But, you know, the point now, especially now when I tell the story, the point is I was a big fat guy that the director went like, you look like a guy who'd eat donuts. And now I've lost that look.
So, yeah, you'll never get that
that's
again.
That's kind of the point of the story. And, you know, I tried to punctuate it with some laughter in there. But I had about 102-degree fever the day it came to do that storytelling show.
Wow.
And I literally went like, I need to write this. I need to sit down and type this thing. And I just was in no shape to do it. So a lot of it I wrote at the bar waiting for the show to start, longhand, the stuff that I couldn't type. And I did it. And, you know, my instinct as a comedian, and this is maybe a thing that you will find doing storytelling, is that if you're not getting a laugh every 30 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever it is, you're bombing. And
right,
it's storytelling,
right.
When you're on stage and you're waiting for those, and they're not coming, but it doesn't mean they're, because it's storytelling, they're just paying attention to the story, but it does sort of feel like, man, I'm not doing well. You know, even if you are, and people have told me, you know, I did a podcast with this guy, Bart Dangus, and I'll put a link when I have that on joelradio.net with him yesterday, and we were talking about my set, and he goes, oh, it was really good, you know, I heard it was great. And I go, yeah, but it didn't feel good. Part of it was that I was sort of ill when I did it,
sure,
but part of
right.
it was like I wasn't getting those laughs like you want, you know, like as a comic.
Like that's what we do it
yeah,
for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's
I like potato
thing.
Chips because they got salt in them.
Right.
I just don't want to sit there and slice a raw potato.
Yeah.
And,
and, you know, and so I feel like storytelling's real good for people. who, when they get on stage, don't get a laugh every 30 seconds. It's right up your alley. If you don't want to have that threshold of success. But for me, I just kind of felt like, you know, I'd rather be doing my act.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, I got good jokes. Why just fucking tell those? But no, you got to tell a story now. There's a million of these.
Well, you know, there's a new TV show, the thing that Landau's on, coming out that's going to be on Comedy Central.
What is that? What do they do on that?
It's a storytelling thing where you actually tell a story in a place.
Yeah.
And Dave's got the clip out. Dave and I talked about this at Brouhaha a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking to him about Roy Wood Jr., I think, is the host of the show.
Oh, okay. Roy's awesome, yeah.
And so comics go up and tell a story.
Sure.
But it's still funny. And
right. Well, Dave's got awesome stories. I mean,
his stories are filled with punchlines.
Yeah, his stories. Well, Dave's the perfect guy for that.
Exactly.
I'm saying Dave is the perfect guy. I'm not the perfect guy, at least not right now.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Huh, cool. Yeah. So
and
if you,
Norm's stories are that way.
Well, Norm is the king of that.
You know, he's the storyteller.
Yeah, he is the storyteller. So, yeah, Norm is another guy that can do that. It's just a different form, and it's a different form of comedy. It's something I'm not used to, and it definitely took me out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, because it's not ba-dum-ba-dum-ba-dum.
Yeah, so I did that, and I was ill, and I actually, it's funny.
That sucks.
I went to another show after, because I was trying to cleanse my palate and go, hey, there's a stand-up show across town. I'm going to go tell some jokes. Yeah, and I'll, like, then I'll kill.
I got to vindicate myself.
Yeah, you know, but I think that's instinctive for a comic. Like, if you don't do well, you go, give me the next show. The 8 o'clock show doesn't go well, but you go out to 10:30, I'm going to fucking kill it, you know, and then you do, and you don't worry about the 8 o'clock. So I go over to the show, and this guy goes, you know, we're running late, and the owner, I don't have time for you. I said, okay, no worries. I'm doing this storytelling thing in a couple weeks. Why don't you come do that? And I go, okay. So apparently I'm going to do another one. Immediately trying to wash the bad taste of the storytelling show out.
Well,
and a guy goes, let's do storytelling. Oh, okay.
Well, if you know what your expectation is about it and you're entertaining, because it's like telling a story at a TV watching crowd, right? I mean, there's a lot of just people just...
Yeah, they're sitting there anticipating the story, and I go, boy, I don't feel like this is going good. I mean, I think the story is interesting. I mean, I just think that what happened to me is interesting. Am I doing it justice? Am I making it as entertaining as it could be? I don't think I did it on that night, so I need to work on that.
It's an art form.
It is, yeah.
I just read a thread online that is so weird that some kids I went to elementary school with, and there was a teacher, and like a fourth grade teacher named Mr. Miller, who I didn't have, but my brother did, and he's younger. And so this thread was all the kids that, like the real smart kids that he went to school. And they sat there and stroked Mr. Miller, and a southern drawl, and the guy would tell stories. And they're talking about him just reading poetry and telling his stories and how that inspired them to read and inspired, and I'm like, man, that where was that guy in my life?
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing.
I don't have that storytelling. Yeah. To, you know, I got watching the Tonight Show, you know, seeing I want to be like that guy.
But that was what we did.
That was our thing.
Kids.
Yeah,
we'd watch
the
Tonight Show. You'd watch, you know, the early HBO specials, the Carlin specials.
Absolutely.
I remember Seinfeld's first hour on HBO. I was probably in the sixth grade, and I thought that was just killer. I was like, I was laughing my ass off. 12 years old and watching Seinfeld for the first time. Holy shit. You know, I mean, that's right at that level. You could relate to his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, now I kind of look at that Seinfeld stuff and it's a little pedestrian. And now it's kind of become hacky in a sense because everybody's doing that.
It's 30 years
ago. Yeah. Yeah. But at the time, it's amazing.
Ago.
You know, we were talking, Corey and I were talking about, you know, you go back and watch, there's a show called The Comedy Shop. With Norm Crosby.
I used to watch those as a kid, man.
And that really probably is the best.
I record those now.
Right. They're on one of the sub channels.
But one of
those. They're on Amazon, I think, and Netflix. But if you watch those, that was probably the best filmed version of what the clubs were like in the 70s.
Correct.
So the Comedy Store and the birth of stand-up and the comedy club boom, that's probably the best video version. Because there's you never see footage of the Comedy Store in 1976. It just doesn't exist. The people weren't
there's
doing
no
it.
Film.
Yeah. So I think that's the best thing. And then you go, boy, these acts kind of suck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
well, it's so vaudeville.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so.
Yeah.
But you look at the time.
Right.
What year is that? 72, yeah. Well, 75?
I think that particular
76.
Show was probably 7. Because I think the Comedy Shop was a riff on the Comedy Store.
Sure.
And the Comedy Store probably opened in, 73 or something? And
so,
it was huge, you know, through the 80s. So, yeah, I mean, it's that.
You look
era,
at their
late
influence.
70s.
You go back, you know, who are they looking at?
And
Al Jolson.
And some of those guys are, you know. Boy, those guys became huge acts. Some of those guys, you're like, boy, I never heard of that guy again. But it's just different. It's such a a modern sensibility.
Borscht Belt.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny about that is the last year, Bill's been over my house every now and then last year.
Yeah.
And so,
why is that? I'm kidding. That's an inside joke.
So we've watched a bunch of those, And what's funny about it is because he's had worked in Vegas for so many years at the Riv in boats, you know, that he'll watch that show and go, man, I worked with that guy in the Riv 15 years ago. Yeah. I opened for that guy, you know. Yeah. You have no idea who Shecky Bermanstein is.
Yeah.
You know, like, who is that?
I was at I was out on a date not that long ago, and we went to a record store, went to the used record store here in Ferndale, Found Sound, and we're flipping through the comedy albums, looking at it, you know, and all the guys, and this girl doesn't, you know, obviously I know comedy, and a lot of the guys I didn't know, but then I go, oh, there's like 6 Kippadada records, and I go, I don't know Kip, but my buddy Bill was Kip's opening act in Vegas. So it's like you're only one guy removed from anybody in the history of comedy. You really are.
I opened for what's his name? Kevin Pollack.
Oh, okay.
You work with Kevin Pollack.
Yeah.
You're less than 7 degrees from everybody.
From anybody
in Hollywood,
that's ever done it, you know.
Anybody.
And you know, we were talking about Bobby Slayton, who was going to do that.
Another guy.
And I hear Bobby Slayton on shows, and Bobby Slayton is in a regular card game with Woody Allen. And I'm like, that blows. I'm like, I know Bobby. I mean, Bobby and I have Bobby Slayton's phone number in my phone. And it's like, he's hanging out with Woody Allen, you know. And then I was, another girl was on a date, we're talking about comedy, and she was, you got to see this Judah Friedlander special. It's on Netflix. It's fantastic. And I go, okay. I go, well, if you want, we can call him and talk to him about it. You know, it blew her mind. You know, I'm like, yeah, Judah's, I were open for him. He's my friend, you know. It just, you know, it's a weird, it's a big world, but it's a small world at the same time, you know. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, for a civilian, I guess, an example is if they watch Comedians in Cars or any of that stuff, Jerry doesn't know necessarily all those people ride in that car with him, you know, or Jimmy Fallon doesn't know every guest that comes on the Tonight Show. They don't all meet at the NBC commissary like Johnny Carson used to joke about, you know. So, yeah, it's a different world out
there.
It
is, man. All right, well, let's get into comedy because this is a big story. A comic got attacked. Let me give you the background. I'm gonna read you this story. And I'll have a link to this.
And it's a retread because everybody's seen in this business the.
And we'll talk about our experiences, although the violence that this guy went after him was pretty unbelievable. Now, this was on TMZ. I'm reading an article from thestate.com. But this took place at the Comedy House in Columbia, South Carolina. Do you know the club?
I don't, but that's a very conservative part of the country, right?
Right.
That's a club you like. Isn't that the. You're pretty much church clean comics in that club?
It could be. I don't know. There's a comic was named Steve Brown. You know him?
I don't.
Steve Brown, let's see. He was, Brown spotted an audience member who didn't seem to be enjoying their routine. Comedian asked, what's wrong? This is one of the witnesses saying. He just shook his head, like, move on to somebody else. Brown asked the audience member, why did he come to a comedy show if he wasn't going to laugh? That's like every show. I mean, I've heard that, you know, literally almost every show headliner will say that. The audience member got mad. Then Brown warned the man, and this is maybe where I start to have a little bit of a problem with maybe the way the comic performed.
Handle it.
He said, this ain't what you want to the guy in the audience. That I'm not a fan of. Almost challenging the guy. The guy starts swinging a microphone stand. He threw the stool at the guy. You can see that in the video. It says two others were injured by the base of the mic stand, which flew into the crowd when Brown's attacker swung the stand, according to the report. A club security guard was punched in the face by the man's attacker. And a fourth victim reported an injury to her foot. You saw the guy put up some photos of his leg, Steve Brown, from where the guy hit him with the stand. It looked pretty bad. Not that this has anything to do with it, because like I said, I've seen this and we'll talk about it. This may have been an urban club. That's sort of why I don't know Columbia, South Carolina, but it's possible that this is a club that sort of caters to that audience. I know Mike Bonner so well and so many comics that do urban clubs, and I never hear these stories from those guys. So I think it's atypical everywhere. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, to see that in the way the guy, and I'm like, boy, I you know, for me, if a guy was, I would never let it get to that point. To where
when did it, you know, yeah, what point does it
video, by the time the video starts, the guy's already on stage
right,
with the mic stand.
Exactly. That's
so
why
it's hard
I
to
don't
see.
Know how it escalated prior to that.
Well,
so,
how much have you seen of this sort of thing?
To myself?
Or that you've been there, or, I mean, has anyone ever jumped on stage with you to attack you?
You know what? A couple of times. One time working in Lansing about 20-some mm-hmm. years ago at Connections at a guy... And I was emceeing.
Okay.
A guy, a biker guy, in a full house. Mm-hmm. I got in a, you know, he heckled or something, and I said something back to him, and I controlled it. Mm-hmm. And he stood up.
Yeah.
And I still controlled it.
Uh-huh.
And he was right there. And, you know, I'm short. Right. So he stood up. This guy was almost looking in my eyes.
In Connections, the stage was 3 inches high or something.
Yeah, right, you know. So, and I'm holding the mic stand the whole time thinking, you know.
If you need it.
If I need it.
Yeah, if you need it.
And he sat, and I at one time I remember looking over at Ron, the door guy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, and they just kind of looking at me. Yeah. They're all laughing.
Right.
And the guy's friends sat him down, finished the scene. You know, I got off stage.
That's usually how it
And that's
that
how it
goes.
Ended.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I have a couple, one time I want to say somebody threw something from the back of the audience thinking they were being funny, where you can't see that.
Yeah, you can't see anything flying.
That freaks you out when something.
That's a bad scene. Well,
I worked at a prison where they yanked me off stage and locked me in a room because it was getting to the
point. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Was that, now let me ask you this though, was any of those crowd work type things, like kind of it sounds like here, where you're actually engaging a guy in the crowd, or was it just that
the Lansing thing was a heckle?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That I said, you know.
So they started.
I opened a rapport with the guy when he started something. I might have asked a question. I don't remember it specifically.
Right, and that's normal.
Just
but,
a hypothetical. You know.
Yeah, I teach my students don't open the door, though. You know, don't go into
you
the
shouldn't.
Crowd. And there's guys that's
not
their
why
act.
We're in comedy.
Yeah, but yeah, they open the door to the guy, and then you never know what they're going to say. You never know who's going to get pissed off. You never know this. I've had a couple situations. One, hosting Club Bart's open mic. Which, just to set the scene a little bit, the stage was behind the bar. People were sitting at the bar. Then the bartender and the bar were sort of between you and the stage. The stage was real high. Remember, there was and I was pretty new. I might have been a year in, 2 years in. Asian guy at the bar. Big, but a large Asian man who looked like he could fuck you up.
Sumo wrestler.
Something like that. Big, tall guy, you know. And I forget what I think he wasn't into the show. I think I was probably emceeing. And I know I probably said something I can't remember if I said, and believe me, I'm a year in. I may have said something to the effect of, where's my egg roll? I mean, it might have been, you know, just a hacky Asian joke about the guy.
Sure.
He literally jumped on the bar. You know, and then he would have to jump the moat to hit the stage.
Yeah, right.
Which is a good, you know, probably a good 5 foot.
Four or five feet.
Yeah, and I grabbed the mic stand, and his buddies pulled him off the bar. But that was frightening because, you know, you're on the bar. He's a big, giant, tall man on the bar. His head is level with the stage lights.
And he's coming at
you. And he wants a piece of me. And I'm like, holy shit, you know. So that thing happened to me. And then there was a time, and Bill Hildebrand will tell you this because he was the headliner on this night, about Pestos and Grand Blanc.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy came in. And again, stupid thing that I said. I'm taking all the – I mean, the guy didn't have to do what he did. But, you know, some people came in late. And I'm emceeing. And, you know, I'm probably at least halfway through the set. And I said, I might have said, you know, can I get you anything like a watch? You know, typical
I've
line.
Done that a million times.
Guy comes back at me. And then it was like, oh, you're from Flint. I get why you're late now. Not a great line. But, you know, you're on stage. You're trying to think on your feet. And, you know, you make
basically. That could kill in Grand Blanc, though. And, that line could kill in Grand Blanc.
I think to the audience it killed. To this guy.
Yeah, not a good
all.
Thing to say to
and
a guy in a fight.
And his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. And they got super pissed. And the wife, I literally had to get off stage because the guy was getting so angry, brought the middle up. Went out, you know, pestos, you're in the showroom, you go out to the restaurant.
Yeah.
The two of them follow me out into the restaurant, and that's where Hildebrand, he's out there trying to chill because he's not on stage for 30 minutes, screaming at me. The wife spit on me.
Nice.
She actually spit on me.
Nice.
Yeah, which, you know, was probably the worst thing that's ever happened to me from being on stage, you know.
Yeah, I've never been hit from a stage.
Me neither.
Or-
yeah.
I mean, I've seen a bunch of crazy, but never that. I never saw that, and never escalate. But I don't, I mean, things are different today.
And some people, and even Steve Brown, when he talks about it in this article, and he did some interviews, he did a TMZ interview about where's security? Who's breaking this up? And, you know, when you see the video, you see people from the audience come up on stage. But I'm going, you know, that's kind of my job at Comedy Castle as one of the door guys. If there's a problem, to intervene. We have people occasionally jump on stage after the show, you know, like to take a photo. I've seen people before
seen
the show
before
jump
the show.
On stage. That's... And I'm always like, you cannot go on stage, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we have Big Bill that works there, Bill Lodge, Wild Bill. And Bill is kind of a frightening guy, you know, who big fella.
That's
who
why he's there.
And that's why he's there. So we normally don't have that, although we did have one night when it happened. And in fact, I'm going to talk to the guy because, you know, I think it was a deal where Bill was out of the room for some other thing, you know, whatever part of his job that he was doing. And then I was there and I was headed to the stage, but the opener jumped on stage. So let's talk to him. Is this the man who saved a headliner's life when a crazy lady jumped on stage? Is that who I'm talking to?
Yeah, yes, the hero of Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Corey Hall jumped on stage. A lady. I mean, this was what, 6, 7? I mean, it was last year. It was 2017.
Yeah, it was the fall of 2017. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And a lady. He was. Who was the headliner again?
Warren B. Hall.
Yeah, funny guy.
Great guy.
My cousin.
Yeah, Kramus knows him. Yeah, there was two Halls, Corey Hall and Warren B.
You guys look a lot alike.
Yeah, well, and Warren's a really funny guy.
I love him.
He'd hurt his leg playing softball.
Oh, okay.
So he'd like blown out his, he was getting his, he had a broken shin or he had a big cast on his leg.
Okay, yeah.
So he was sitting on a stool.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wasn't like super mobile. And this lady just walked right up from, you know, the way the Comedy Castle is, the stage is elevated a little bit.
She was like in the second row of seats, I believe. So like table 14 or 15.
And there is a ramp on the side.
Yeah. Well, stood up. No, there's no ramp. We can put some steps, but they're not.
Oh, sometimes there's a step, but they weren't there. Right.
No, they weren't there.
She just hopped up.
Yeah, she just hopped on stage.
She just hopped on the stage, which is like a 3 foot up. I don't know how she did it.
It's 2 feet, something like that. 3 feet.
Two feet. So she just hopped up on the stage and, you know, we were in the green room and I was talking to the other comic and I just looked on the monitor.
Yeah.
And was like, wait a second.
Right.
Like she just popped into the screen like a Muppet.
Yeah.
You just like popped up. And so I just instantly ran up there to get her before you guys could even, you know.
Yeah, I was on my way to the stage, and you came out of the door, and Corey was there. It was amazing.
Well, she'd probably been on stage for 10, 15 seconds before we noticed her on the, you know.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's not part of the act.
Yeah.
And he didn't like, invite her.
No, not at all. She completely let her. You know, he was doing a little crowd work, kind of egging her on a little bit. And she just decided, I'm going on, you know, after way too many drinks, I'm sure.
She was drunk.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, she was blotto. I mean, she was.
And this is a woman.
Out of her mind.
This is a woman in her 50s, let's say. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Afterwards, I ended up talking to, there was a big group from like Blue Cross.
And I think she was with them.
Yeah, she was with this group from Blue Cross, and apparently she'd been telling everybody at work that she was going to go on stage.
What a
like all week long. And they were like, Karen just told us she was going to get crazy at the show. and just flew through mine. And she did. So, I mean, it wasn't like she wasn't a threat or anything, but I had to like kind of walk her off.
Yeah, but Corey was the hero, man.
I just ran up there and was like, okay.
Yeah.
Did you take her out the door?
Didn't go anywhere?
Yeah, he did. Corey took her out the door and down that, you know, the backstage ramp.
Like a bouncer.
And I went through the curtain and met her back there and said, you have to come with me.
That's beautiful.
And that's when, you know, Bill found me, you know, out in the hallway by the ladies' room talking to her about, hey, you can't go on stage for any reason. So that lady got very lucky that Bill didn't hit the stage, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think you guys weren't even like the guy on the side of the post wasn't even. He was.
Yeah, I think it was Jerry. So, you know, that's Jerry. Yeah, Jerry being Jerry. And I was on my way, but it was. Yeah. It was,
It's just that you guys were in the back of the room. Yeah. So right. I just ran up, got her. That was goofy. I mean, we've had many comedy fights on open mics.
Now, I told the story about the big Asian guy at Club Bard.
Did you talk about the glass ashtray?
Oh, well, that wasn't me, but yeah, that was a girl.
Well, you were friendly fire. You got caught in the crossfire.
Well, there was a girl. You want to tell the story, Corey? You go ahead.
You were there, but there was a guy on stage named Cat Daddy. I remember that.
Okay.
Which I don't think is his Christian name.
Probably not.
And
believe it or not, an African-American guy, too.
Yeah. And then there was a woman in the crowd. I can't remember if the girl in the crowd was also a performer.
I know that girl. I've seen her recently, and I will leave her out of this. But go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she got mad at something Cat Daddy said.
Yeah.
And this was before the smoking ban.
Yeah.
And she literally hurled this large frisbee-sized glass ashtray.
Like a crystal, a heavy lead crystal ashtray.
At the
stage. Yeah.
She just hurled it up.
And it hit me.
And then, well, you ran up to cover him, and then she threw like a salt and pepper.
Oh, yeah, that's what hit me. Yeah, I don't think the ashtray hit me. But
no, not the ashtray, but she hit you with the pepper.
She was just throwing stuff from the bar. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. I've had to put a kid in a headlock.
Yeah, you had.
An open mic.
Yeah.
So comedy fights are always great. I mean,
yeah, and this one, you know, they're blaming the security at this club for what happened. And to me,
was there security at that
club?
Well,
nobody, the guys that jumped on stage were guys from the crowd, apparently. And as I was reading this article, you know, several people in the crowd were injured by stuff flying out. My feeling is that this club's gone because they're either going to get sued. I think this club's out of business.
If it's a real comedy club, like you're right.
I think they're out of
business. It's a bar gig, I get it.
Because they're going to get sued into oblivion is my feeling.
Well, that was the only time I've ever seen something like that happen at Ridley's.
Yeah, yeah.
That lady jumping on stage, and there was really nothing anybody could do about it. You know, it wasn't you guys weren't at fault. She just hopped up on the stage.
Yeah, she did. So,
fortunately, she didn't. That guy in the clip, he threw the mic stand into the crowd.
Yeah,
he swung the mic stand at the guy, and it went flying into the crowd and hit somebody. So
no, it's a pretty insane thing, and boy, I'm glad I wasn't there because you know, I mean, I think I don't know where the green room was. It seems like they were kind
of there was one,
or I feel like if the comics were hanging out, they were probably on the other side of the room. Who knows where their door guy's probably at the door, which also is on the other side of the room. So
I was also an eyewitness when the late great Greg Giraldo almost got in a fight with a customer.
Exactly, I saw that too.
But that was in the lobby. Somebody didn't like his material either, and he was like, "Dude, you can't even think that joke was racist." And that's when I remember hearing Greg say that, and then the guy was like on him.
Giraldo was under the influence, let's say.
And, that's safe to say.
That was a thing. I also saw a guy, I'll say his name, and with no disrespect, I saw Mark Canopin, a guy, pretty much brawling in the comedy club bar after a show.
Because
a guy did not like Canope's act, and Canope let him have it. You know,
well, I mean,
Canope could have turned the other cheek, but he's kind of known for being a little fiery, and I've been on the receiving end of that fire. And Canope went after this guy,
Remember there was an old guy at Club Bart. There was a guy in his like 60s that wanted to fight one night.
Wasn't it a guy in like a union jacket or something? Is that the guy we're thinking of?
And I remember making a joke. He was like at the bar trying to pay for a drink. And I was like, "Sir, we don't take Confederate money."
Yeah.
And we were just all goofing on this old guy. And then he finally got mad and went and jumped at people. Mm. So this is a danger of the business, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
like, it doesn't usually happen at a club.
Yeah.
That's
no, that's what
yeah,
I
mean. Yeah, but again, who knows what this club is? This might have been an urban thing. This thing could have been new. Who knows?
Yeah, random bar gigs, maybe you'll see that stuff happen. Yeah. But, you know, the best is if you do like a biker bar, because those guys will police themselves. Yeah.
They do. Ordinarily, yeah. if the comics, I used to book one in Westland.
Yeah.
It went to somebody else, and the next guy that got it, there was a knife pulled the next year.
Ooh,
it was five gangs the one year we did it with Leo Dufour. Like 400 bikers, five gangs, and they're like, dude, this never happens. They never come together like this.
What? Oh, kid, they pulled it on. They pulled it on each other. They're not on a comic.
No, they pulled it on a comic.
Who was the? Do you mind telling me who the comic?
I can't tell you.
Tell me off the air.
Yeah, I don't.
Or you want to write it on a piece of paper?
No,
and show
I don't want to do that.
Ah, you motherfucker! All right. Well,
I don't start no shit with anybody. Right. But I mean, you know. Yeah. You got to know what you're doing in those situations. Yeah. You can't bait the audience.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, I remember another time. Derek Richards had a joke,
and Derek will fucking cut right to the bone.
Yeah, big time.
He's a. I mean, he's so funny,
but
man.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a killer on stage.
Derek's a hilarious guy, but he's also a big dude.
Yeah,
and he had some joke that he said something about muscular dystrophy or something. I don't know what it was. and it wasn't like intended. It wasn't really targeted at anybody, but the guy's like, my brother's got, and we're like, sir, he didn't write the joke for you and your brother.
Yeah.
Like, and then this guy wanted to fight, and it was me, Derek Richards, Sal, and PJ.
Yeah. Three big dudes.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm like, this is an offensive line. Yeah. I would not start a fight with that. And this guy was like all hot and bothered. And I'm like, that's too much beef, man.
Yeah, right.
Don't get it. I wouldn't start stuff with PJ. Yeah. He's like 6'6".
Yeah.
Anyway.
All them guys are beasts. Were you crazy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Corey couldn't make it today. So Kevin Kramus is here doing your gig. So.
I'd have picked him up. I don't charge like you do, Joel.
Yeah. Corey couldn't make it with... transportation things, but we'll get Corey on the next
cars
one.
The cars in the shop, so anyway,
it is.
You guys did you address the Monique situation?
We did not talk about Monique and Netflix, and I don't even know enough about that.
Can we just all take a moment to remember all our favorite Monique bits? Because I mean the ones that earned her the $20 million she thinks she deserves, because we all remember the classic Monique jokes, right? I mean,
I don't know enough about it. It seems like she was offered, if she was actually offered $500,000 to do a comedy special on Netflix, I don't think there's many people in the world that would turn that money down.
You know,
and Chappelle and Seinfeld and some of these guys get giant money, but that's like three guys in the world.
Think about it this way. To make $500,000 in comedy.
Yeah.
You'd have to do 5.6 million road gigs.
And that's kind of the how many Navy tours you got to do to make that, Kramus?
Oh boy.
You have to do 12 million one-nighters.
Yeah, exactly.
$500,000. I mean, okay, I guess she's like, I'm an Oscar winner, but that doesn't translate to your comedy.
No.
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 And you know, Netflix is so racist, they only gave Dave Chappelle $20 million.
Well, that's a good point, too. So
they hate women, so they gave Amy Schumer $10 million.
Yeah. Well, it's...
So that's just, like, crazy to me that Monique thinks that she's...
Worth.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle is worth every penny. He's one of the top comics in the world.
And people have the service to watch Dave Chappelle on some level.
And Amy Schumer at that time was super hot.
Yeah.
And you know, so they're giving specials to everybody. So you guys start preparing your material. They're doing 15-minute specials.
Yeah, what's up with that, huh?
I don't know.
I'm getting a 3-minute special on Netflix.
There's some guys that can only handle a 3-minute special.
Well,
so
I might be one of them.
I don't win the Doritos commercial at the Super Bowl, so I'm going to get my 3 minutes the other way.
Yeah. Well, anyway, all right, Corey. Well, thanks for talking to us. We'll have Corey. We'll hear Corey again soon. We're gonna.
All right, fellas.
We'll talk to you later.
Watch, keep your head low when you're on stage. You never know.
Exactly.
Someone's going to throw something.
All right, later. There's Corey, everybody. Corey Hall. There he goes. There it is.
So. Nice little hookup you got there, Joel.
I got some chops over here.
Bring in a phone call from the outside world.
I could talk to anyone in the world right now. Who do you want to call? Do you want to call somebody? Who do you want to call?
No, I got nobody to call.
But, you know, people won't even, you know, the thing is nowadays people don't even take the call a lot of times. It goes right to voicemail.
That's what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
If I don't know the number, I let it go.
Right. I don't know. Who do you
know? What I think is funny is when you answer the phone, like, if not you, but per se, but, you know, everybody's got caller ID. So when you call, hey, Joel, how's it going?
Yeah, right.
People are like, well, how'd you know it was me?
Yeah, yeah. Or if you don't answer, you go, oh, shit. I don't want to talk to that guy.
Or you don't leave a message. I don't leave a message anymore.
Yeah, that's annoying. Because it's annoying to retrieve the message.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And it just text. Hey,
I know my mom leaves a message. My mom's 78. Yeah, you know? Yeah, she's going to leave a message for 3 minutes.
Babble. Does your mom do, Kevin? Because my grandmother
used to do that.
Because it would be my voice on the, like when the answering machine, you know, the tape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it would be my voice. So if my grandmother wanted to tell my dad something, because my voice was the one that was, hey, we're not home right now, leave
Joel
a message.
Joel, tell your dad.
She's like, Joel, tell your daddy that we'll come over on a Sunday. You know, it was like just so sweet, you know, that she thought she was talking to me because it was my voice on the machine, even though she, tell your dad. It's like, my dad's going to hear this. It's fine. She didn't get it.
My grandma, we got her trained to be able to leave the message in the old days with the machine.
Yeah.
You know, the old machine.
Right, yeah.
In your house, you could hear the person talk through it. You know?
It was like a speakerphone. It was like a speakerphone.
Exactly.
You'd hear it, and then you could pick up if you wanted to.
Yeah. So we trained her, you know, just say something, talk, and we might be there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So we...
Because you didn't know who was calling.
Because you didn't know who was calling.
Yeah, you didn't know who was calling.
So once the cell phone came in, she was trained to use the machine.
Although.
So you talked to the voicemail that way.
But it's funny that our cell phones actually don't have that technology, though, do they? Wherein, if I don't answer.
Screen through.
You could be leaving a message, and then I would hear it. I guess we get the caller ID, which sort of is the same thing. But that might be a neat feature to have. Go get to work on that, cell phone people.
Yeah, because you couldn't have, hey, Joel's calling. If it's important, I'll hear it. And then, Kevin, I need a ride. Oh, damn, I picked that up.
And you call back.
You call back now, you know, and then Joel's already called somebody else.
Yeah, all right. So we were talking Oscars a little bit, Monique. I don't know, how big, because this for me, and I've talked about this on the past shows, and we'll get into it now. I go through a thing where because of this show, I see every Oscar-nominated movie in the major categories.
You know, I think I was on this show.
Were you
almost
on a show like this? Yeah,
time,
probably if it was a year ago.
We were talking a little bit about.
I was going through that now, the nominations came out yesterday.
Until it went into like 9 movies.
Yeah, it's 9 movies now, and I've seen most of them. My list of stuff to see, because I sort of finalized, you know, what I need to see before the Oscars hit.
Way behind this.
It's 10 movies. That I need to see before the Oscars happen. Now, a lot of those are documentaries, because that is a category I try to see them all, which a lot of people won't. They'll just see all the best pictures.
Is that a deep category, too, though? Is that
it's
9?
It's 5.
That's why I thought that was short.
I think for a picture, what I haven't seen for best picture at this point is Darkest Hour.
Nope.
The Phantom Thread.
Nope.
The Post and The Shape of Water. So I've seen 5 of the 9. And you've seen none of those?
No.
So I've seen the other ones. And then, you know, the major acting categories, which means I need to see a movie called Mudbound from Mary J. Blige, which is on Netflix. I think Roman J. Israel Esquire is a Denzel Washington movie where he's nominated. I haven't seen that. And then All the Money in the World has Christopher Plummer. He replaced that
that's
movie.
The Spacey
movie. Spacey got cut, so that's one that I need to see. And then I need to see those best pictures, and then I need to see some documentaries. That some of those are on Netflix, like Strong Island, so that'll be easy for me to watch. So it's not the biggest marching orders that I have, but I still have a bunch to see. And so this is my crunch time for those.
Will you go to the movies to see some of these?
Some of them I will be able to see at home.
Do you have
on Netflix? And some of them you can see in by other means. But I will generally go to the theater for something like The Shape of Water, because I think it's a really beautifully well-made movie. I don't want to try to see that in some sort of internet screener thing.
You don't want to watch the camera version
I'll never watch the camera. That I will never do. Because as a film student and stuff, I will never watch the guy's cell phone in the theater. If it's a DVD screener, meaning they released, you know, to members of the Academy.
Yeah, it's a
DVD copy
for
that,
your consideration.
On the internet.
Yep.
Those I will watch occasionally. Yep. Occasionally, I'll actually get a copy of a screener from somebody that I know that might get
you
those
know a lot of people.
Legally, and I know lots of people that are in the business.
Yeah.
So I may get a legal copy of a screener, or I may get an illegal copy of the screener. But I think for something like The Shape of Water, for Phantom Thread, which is probably a nice, beautifully shot movie, I'm actually want to have that theatrical big screen experience, so I'll go to the theater to see those. So I do have a few things that I'm going to have to leave the house to see. But yeah, probably a lot of these between Netflix and screeners, I'll be able to see most of these at home. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But also, I'll tell you, from the Best Picture nominations, I think they've really left a couple things out. Stuff that I've seen recently, so we can talk about those.
Yeah, tell me about them, Joel.
Well, there's
influenced me on this
movie
thing this year. I really have.
Well, of the nominated movies,
when it comes,
you know, Dunkirk, fantastic.
I watch all my movies camera version on my phone.
So from a camera to a camera phone, from a phone to a phone.
That's the real technology,
being able
to steal things like that.
No, you shouldn't do that. But Dunkirk, you should see.
That's the
Christopher Nolan's World War II movie. Fantastic. Great movie. Beautifully shot. Amazing,
and that's on Netflix
technically.
Now, I believe.
You can rent it.
Amazon Prime.
You can rent it, but it's also going back to theaters now that it's got all the nominations. So if you want to see it,
it's free somewhere. Might be free on Comcast.
All right. Well, Dunkirk is out there.
Days.
So see Dunkirk. I recommend that. Get Out surprised a lot of people because that's a small movie, a smaller movie made by Jordan Peele of Key and
Peele. Oh, I thought you were telling me to leave.
Yeah, no. That'll be in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
But yeah, Get Out, which is sort of a zombie movie, but with overtones, social, racial overtones to it. Comedy. People loved it.
I don't like zombies that are racist.
Well,
zombies are judgmental.
And Get Out, I liked. I don't think it would be in my top 9 movies of the year, but Get Out is something that you might enjoy. Lady Bird, which Corey reviewed, I did see. I thought Lady Bird was good. Now, that's an indie movie. That is about
Lady Bird, right? It's about Lady Bird.
It's about a girl who calls herself Lady Bird. It's not about Lady Bird, who was
the president's wife.
It's not,
Bird Johnson.
It's a coming of age story about a girl in a Catholic school, and she wants to go to college on the East Coast, and her mother's not a big fan of that, and she's trying to fit in with the cool kids. Very nice little movie like that, directed by Greta Gerwig, who's an actress that's in a lot of indie movies, and she was nominated for Best Director, so a female nominated for Best Director, kind of a big deal. Lady Bird's good. Corey talked about it a few weeks ago on the show. I saw it recently and thought it was pretty good, so I think Lady Bird's something I'd recommend. You know, Three Billboards, me and Corey have fought about viciously for the last couple of weeks.
I don't even know what that's about.
Yeah, and I don't recommend that to people. I think it's a well-made movie. A lot of the actors got nominated. But I, you know, and that would be Woody Harrelson, Sam Rockwell, and Frances McDormand, who are the stars. They're all great. I thought that the movie, the characterizations, I didn't buy. I didn't like what the characters were doing. It seemed excessively violent in a way that sort of turned me off. So that one I didn't like. Call Me By Your Name, I'm sure, is something you've not seen.
I've not seen that.
This is a movie that stars a guy named Armie Hammer, who you may know. He was in The Social Network. He played the twins.
Oh.
The guy
Facebook. Yeah, he's named after the bacon soda.
I think he might even be related to Armand Hammer.
Yeah, I think he is.
The billionaire
I think I read
guy.
That back then.
And a guy named Timothy Chalamet is the other lead in that. He was nominated for lead actor. He's also in Lady Bird in a small role. But he, it's about two guys in the 80s in Italy who fall in love. So it's a gay romance that takes place in 1980s Italy. And Armie Hammer's a college student who is visiting a professor who lives in Italy. And Timothy Chalamet is the professor's son. It's well made. It's well acted. It's boring as all fucking hell. And I don't recommend people necessarily see that.
So it's like Brokeback Pizza.
I never saw Brokeback Mountain.
I didn't either. But
that
I just,
was not,
you know, I put
a year
those together,
that I well, well that's know. Not a that's a that's a fine thing. So Call Me By Your Name.
Brokeback
I can't
Pizza.
Get behind, and then the other ones I didn't see. But there is a movie.
Did you see I, Tonya?
I did see I, Tonya. Corey and I talked about it last time. Very good. Yeah. Didn't get a Best Picture nomination, but I, Tonya's good. You saw it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I liked it. You know, stuff like Disaster Artist, which I thought was good, didn't get nominated.
I didn't see much last year.
Something I've seen since these nominations came out, and they did nominate William Dafoe for Best Supporting Actor in that, is a movie called The Florida Project. It's about poor people living in a cheap hotel outside Disney World. And, you know, if William Dafoe wasn't in it, who you will recognize, you know, from Last Temptation of Christ and a million movies, you might think this is real people. It's that well done.
Wow.
I actually cried at the end of this movie. The ending of this movie was the greatest ending of a movie I saw all year. I don't want to give away what it is, but it's amazing.
Is it where Mickey Mouse gives all the people bonuses because of Donald Trump? Is it that? Was it?
Not that.
Oh, because that happened yesterday.
Did it? I don't even know what you're talking about. But see The Florida Project.
The Florida Project.
The Florida Project. The girl that is the lead in this, I could look up her name, but they basically, this girl that plays this white trash mom of these kids, because a lot of it is about little kids, you know, little kids that are growing up in these hotels.
In that condition.
And the mother is played by, well, who's completely convincing, is a woman who's never acted in a movie before. She was an Instagram pot model, essentially. That's a thing you can be now. She basically is photographed smoking weed, and she sells
Instagram bud tender.
Yeah, it's something like that. And she designs pot apparel.
A bud girl.
So you got, but she is awesome in this movie. And the kids are awesome.
The Florida Project.
The Florida Project. A lot of the movie
is, that tonight.
Is kids goofing around, getting ice cream.
Being kids.
And a lot of it, and it looks like the kids aren't really acting. They're just kind of hanging out. And the guy's shooting it. And it's really beautifully shot. It's a great movie. I think it's one of the best movies of the year. When I make my best movies of the year, there's going to be part of my brain that's going to say, let's make this number one.
I'll have to watch that.
I don't know if I'm going to or not. So I think it was snubbed on some level for Best Picture. I thought it was better than a lot of the things that were nominated recently.
Do you see Wonder?
No, I didn't see Wonder.
That was good? Yeah, that was okay. A good movie.
There's also a movie called Columbus, which is, I got to talk
now,
about
what's
this
it about?
With Corey. It's about a town called...
It's about Lady Bird, isn't it?
Well, it's not...
Johnson.
It's interesting that it is about a girl that's... this girl's just out of high school, and she lives in Columbus, Indiana, which I've actually done comedy.
I think
Columbus,
I've done
Indiana,
that gig.
Yeah. And Columbus, Indiana, which I did the gig. I remember driving through Columbus going, this is a neat little town.
Is that the Lakes region of
Indiana? No, it's southern Indiana. They are known for mid-century modern architecture, meaning like really modern, I forget the architects that this would be. But if you watch the movie, that's what the movie's about, essentially. This girl
it's
loved,
not Frank Lloyd Wright movie.
It's something, it's guys that were like disciples of Frank Lloyd Wright, and they made all these buildings in Columbus.
Gotcha.
And this guy, played by John Cho, who you might know from Harold and Kumar, he's the Asian guy from that. And he ends up in this town because his father is like one of the famous lecturers about the architecture. He gets ill. So his son comes to visit him. He becomes friends with this girl who lives in Columbus, who wishes she didn't live in Columbus. She, kind of like Lady Bird, wishes she could live somewhere else. But she's a big fan of this architecture. And her and this guy end up becoming friends and going around and touring architecture. And they have sort of a romance that's sort of a older guy, younger girl kind of thing. Thought it was absolutely brilliant. Genius movie. Again, it's a small movie not a lot of people have seen, but I really, really recommend Columbus. I thought it was beautifully shot. Apparently the guy that makes this movies, and again, I don't have his name. I should have done better research. You can look it up. Was a guy who would make internet videos, like YouTube videos, breaking down classic films. Classic Japanese cinema, classic Italian and French cinema. And he put a lot of those techniques. And I learned all that stuff in college. That's what I did in film school. I watched all those classic Italian movies, you know, Japanese, French, and wrote essays about
it. I like all the architectural love stories.
Okay. It's one of those.
Those are great. Like the Brady Bunch.
Well, it's a cool house.
He was an architect.
He was an architect. So go see Get Columbus. Find that out there. You can rent it. It's really cool. Great acting. The girl that's in that, again, I forget her name. I didn't write it down. Was an awesome actress. Like really great stuff. Cool movie. It's a lot like Lady Bird. I don't know if I recommend the Lady Bird Columbus double feature. I think watch them on different nights. But your girlfriend would
broke
like this.
Brokeback Pizza on the same night.
You know, even Florida Project, maybe a little depressing with some of these other movies, but great movie.
That's the one about the two gay furries? Is that what? Which one is that?
The Florida Project is about the kids living in the hotel.
I forget.
So yeah, I recommend all that. I also saw Battle of the Sexes, which I don't think got any nominations. I thought maybe Steve Carell, who was Golden Globe nominated for playing Bobby Riggs, Emma Stone played Billie Jean.
I want to see that.
You know what? It's.
I mean, I like this. I lived through it.
You talked about I, Tonya, which took a real event and made it super kind of funny and campy. And Battle of the Sexes, to me, the real event, the real tennis match between Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King and the circus surrounding it, to me, was way more entertaining than this movie. Even though the acting was really good. I thought Carell and Emma Stone did a nice job with it. To me, I thought the movie... I know there's like an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary about Battle of the Sexes.
And they were characters already.
Yeah, Bobby Riggs is so funny. And the best part of it was them recreating all of the stunts and stuff and the interviews that they gave. But a lot of it is about, you know, Billie Jean King becoming a lesbian and she's seduced by a woman. And, that didn't have a ton of appeal to me. So, I liked it, but I didn't love it. It didn't get Oscar nominated. I don't feel like it's a snub or anything. To me, Battle of the Sexes was a little bit of a disappointment. Again, Disaster Artist is about real people and real events. You know, it's the guy that made The Room. Right, I think that's a better movie. I think I, Tonya is a better movie. So Battle of the Sexes to me didn't hit in the way that those did. It was okay.
I hope Allison Janney wins.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, she's so great in I, Tonya.
I love her.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
That was what's great about that movie is the characters in that movie. The Bobby Riggs, that story, we knew the characters in that.
Yeah.
We didn't know Allison Janney. We didn't know Tonya's mother.
No, yeah, I'd never seen that.
Back then. I didn't know the backstory.
She did a good version of Tonya Harding, and played Jeff Galooly was very good. The fat guy was awesome.
He was the best. Shane.
I forget his name. But if you see the real guy in him, they really nailed the look
of
that
man.
Guy. And like every scene, the guy's eating.
Yes.
It's so
fun. Hilarious.
Yeah, it's a cool movie. I know. Girls like I, Tonya. It's a real...
Do they?
Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, girls like I, Tonya. So.
I mean, I don't think she's a victim. I don't think,
Well, that's why the movie's interesting.
To a point, she is maybe, but...
Well, what did she know and when did she know it?
Yeah, that's right. The
interesting thing. And the movie doesn't really... She's neither guilty nor innocent. If you thought she was guilty and you see this movie, you'd still think she's guilty. If you thought she was innocent and you saw this movie, you might still think she's innocent.
Right.
The movie kind of has it both ways on some level, and it's cool.
Yeah.
Really well done. Some TV stuff before we wrap it up today. Crashing on HBO. You ever seen
back.
That show?
Yeah, I saw last whole
back.
Season. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, they really get the comedy right in that on some level, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those Pete Holmes.
Very funny.
Good job with that. Artie Lang, I know, in the first episode, Gilbert Gottfried, who's a guy I know, shows up on that. Big J. Okerson, Dave Attell, guys I know. Penn Jillette, who is my weight loss guru and who I've talked to at least, has a really great scene, explaining to Pete about atheism and science. And I thought that was just brilliant.
Yeah, it was a great
and, show. So really good. The comedy, I've never been that guy who's handing out flyers in New York. That's never been part
Me
of my
either.
Comedy
I can't
career.
Say that either.
But a lot of that stuff about not doing well on stage, playing to empty rooms. In the first season when he goes on the road, that's pretty indicative of what road gigs are as a new comic. So they really nail it. It's really well done, and it's funny.
Yeah, I think they do a great job with that. I laugh like crazy watching that.
Yeah, it's really well done. He's a warm-up. Guy, did you see the episode 2 of this season?
I haven't watched the season yet.
Oh, yeah. Season 1 as the Penn Jillette.
Right.
And he discovers that, he was raised as a Mormon or whatever, and he's never had a drink. And then he talks to Penn Jillette, and then he decides, let's try the other way. So that's a little bit of what happens in episode 1. And then in episode 2, there's some dating stuff, which was I could relate to. And then kind of cringeworthy stuff that
I haven't watched the season yet.
And then he ends up warming up for Dr. Oz. And Dr. Oz is
funny.
In it, and it's Dr. Oz actually does a nice job. I give him some credit. He has some good lines. So yeah, I really recommend Crashing. It's a pretty good version of stand-up comedy, as opposed to like I'm Dying Up There, which I thought
didn't see that.
Yeah, I don't really recommend I'm Dying Up There. Again, that's about Comedy Store, even though it's fictional.
Right.
And there's a woman that kind of plays Mitzi. I think the comedy stuff they did well. The rest of it though just seemed a little. It wasn't fun. It was kind of depressing. You kind of watch that and go, I bet you it was way more fun than they're making it out to be in this show. this show's kind of gloomy. And again, you know, people, you know, if you know the real story of the Comedy Store, and that's what the book I'm Dying Up There is.
Right.
And that's what I recommend you read is the book I'm Dying Up There, because it's all the guys, you know, they fictionalize everybody in the show, even though, right, like a guy playing Richard Pryor does, sure, show up and stuff. You know, you hear the real story from Leno and Letterman and Tom Dreesen and all Jimmy Walker and all those guys that were really there. That I recommend is that book. But yeah, the show is kind of, you know, people killing themselves and ODing on drugs. And I'm Dying Up There didn't really get it right for me. But Crashing, that's a good show.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Do you see that?
People keep telling me, and I got to watch that. So I'm going to get to that.
I mean, it's old school.
Yeah,
you know, it's,
I know, but
older,
I want to see it. I want to see
it. But it's another one that's it's pretty close to,
yeah,
some of the things that
what
we've experienced,
like,
even though it's, yeah, so much older. I mean, it's Lenny Bruce era.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's like New York, Greenwich Village, yeah, stuff.
It's great.
Cool.
I binge watched that on the treadmill.
I got to watch that. But again, I've got 10 goddamn Oscar-nominated movies to watch,
right,
Kramus.
Right.
Are you going to watch Columbus on the treadmill?
I don't think so.
you,
I don't think,
honestly,
so.
You should see Lady Bird, Columbus, and Florida Project.
I want to see Florida Project. That
and of
one
the three,
fun.
Florida Project, you would, I mean, you probably spent some
fun,
time.
But it sounds,
but
like
you
something
probably
I
spent some
like
time in Florida.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
And I go, I visit my family every year in Florida, in Naples, which is a little more upscale than the part of Florida that they're covering here.
Right.
But, you know, when I was on the road, I did 2 weeks in Florida. One of my first feature road gigs. 2 weeks in Florida for giggles. And I went to a lot of small towns. And I saw the poverty, you know, and I saw,
oh, for sure,
what small town Florida away from the parks is. And I also spent some time in Orlando on my off days. I got a hotel there. And I went to some of the parts where
it's not as pretty.
Are. Yeah. And I even, you know, after seeing the Florida Project, I looked up because that hotel that they shot at is a real hotel. And I went, and as I Googled the name of the hotel, it said, do you want to book a room there? $40 a night.
There you go.
You know, so it's all real shit.
It's for real.
It's all, even though the movie's not real, boy, it really feels real.
That situation
is
there.
Yeah, it really feels real. Some other TV stuff that I watched, this is on Netflix. I watched Letterman Show. Our
it was
next guest needs no introduction.
It was great.
With Obama.
And I'm not a big fan of Obama, but it was,
no,
great.
No, he
it
did a nice great job with it. I don't think Obama said anything that Obama hasn't said
right,
before.
Right, exactly.
But I thought Letterman did a great job. And I think when Letterman went to Selma, Alabama, I thought was the best part of that.
That
and
was
I
very
wish
good
there was more of that. I wish there was more of Letterman on the road
on
talking
the road
to people, because he was great at that.
Yeah.
He was really awesome at that.
Yeah.
The interview in front of a crowd, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
if that's, are they all going to be that,
yeah,
way?
Yeah, I guess. Who knows? I think he's sort of, it's sort of, there's not a strict,
there's no rules
to it,
for
yeah
this. Just give us six
but
shows.
I know he interviews George Clooney in front of a crowd because that was the preview at the end of that
right
one. And I know Howard Stern's coming on, and I'll definitely watch that because I'm a big Howard fan.
I'll watch them all.
Yeah. Apparently, Howard may announce his retirement on
that
Letterman
show.
That's the rumor that I'm hearing. I don't even know if they've taped it yet. But that is the rumor. You know, Howard, I think, probably has a couple years left on his Sirius contract. So he could say, hey, I'm done in 2 years or 3 years or whatever. But
Imus is saying goodbye, right?
Yeah, Imus is retiring, too. And I'm not going to miss Imus, but, you know.
You know, we got nowhere to listen to Imus,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's a legend.
I mean, how old is he now?
97.
Yeah.
So Letterman did a good job. And I watched a show called The Toys That Made Us, which is on Netflix. You know what that is?
I think I do.
It's a little series of documentaries about famous toys.
Yes, I did see
and,
that.
And the
didn't
first
watch
one
it
was about Star Wars toys, which I was that fucking age, man. I was right there when Star Wars came out. I was 5.
I was too. I was.
And yeah, you were 10.
Fifth grade.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I had all those toys, and you hear about the guys who designed the toys, how they ended up at Kenner. Did you get those? I mean, did you have those?
No, my mom, she would buy those toys for, like, other people for their birthday and things like that.
Oh, you poor man.
She never liked to buy us toys that everybody else had, because then we wouldn't want to leave and play at other people's houses.
So sad.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job with it. You know, it didn't, if you didn't have those Star Wars toys, I don't know that it's that interesting. But, you know, you do see a guy's house who has a giant collection of them.
Sure.
You see that. You see what they fetch for today.
It's unreal.
It's interesting how the money broke down and how little George Lucas really got of those toys, because that toy company made a fucking mint on those.
Yeah,
so
you would think
that
he
was interesting.
You would think he'd have the Gene Simmons deal on Mark,
yeah,
merchandising.
Yeah, well, I think eventually,
you know,
he got
does
that
now, but
well, he sold, know, everything to Disney
right
recently. But,
He built to the point where he did.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was interesting. And then I think the next one in that series, I think, is about Barbie. And I think there's one maybe about He-Man. I don't care about either of those, so I won't be watching those. But if you like Star Wars and the toys and you want to know a little background,
that'd be great.
I thought it was a cool show for that. But yeah, that. But again, TV's not a thing that I can really do because I've got all these fucking movies to watch. So that's really my thing. So
well, it's become such
that.
A different way to watch it. Nobody watches it the way we watched it 20 years ago
and
before.
I need to be in front of the TV at 8 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, all of America's watching Cheers at 8 o'clock. You know.
Yeah, it's not like that anymore. So anything TV-wise you're doing, watching, anything we should know about?
No, I just keep, listening to people that say what to binge watch and,
and ignoring it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm that guy, too. People go, you got to watch all of Breaking Bad and you got to start at the beginning. And I go, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have the time.
I don't have the time.
I don't have the time.
Did you see Lilyhammer?
No.
Lilyhammer's funny.
And, that's Stevie.
But you got a light.
That's Stevie Van Zandt, and I love Stevie. And
you got to be a big Sopranos fan. I'm a Sopranos fan.
Too,
I
like
Sopranos. You know.
Bruce is in one of the Lilyhammers.
Yeah, I think second season at the end.
I certainly could enjoy that, I think, if I wanted to sit down.
Yeah, if you had the time,
But sometimes you just watch stuff because everybody watches and you want to be part of the conversation. I did that for a long time with Walking Dead.
I don't because I don't want the flu. In order to have a conversation, you have to be around people.
I did that with Walking Dead, eventually stopped.
I did that
with Game of Thrones, eventually stopped. I do watch, it's funny, with Game of Thrones, I'll watch the season finale of Game of Thrones without watching the rest of the season of Game of Thrones. For the last couple seasons.
I do that on The Voice. I'll watch the last 5 minutes like it's an NBA show, basketball game.
I'm pulling for this guy.
Last five laughs of Indy are great.
Yeah. And then, but it's funny with Game of Thrones. I understand Game of Thrones as much just watching the season finale as I would if I watched the whole show. Because I'm always watching Game of Thrones going, I don't know what the fuck's happening. And maybe it's because I'm a little dense. I don't pay attention
ADD,
that well.
Like,
but
I can't watch that.
They also make the show sort of hard to follow. And everything sort of culminates in the season finale. So for me, it's like, hey, there's a lady with dragons. There's this house. They're fighting. It's cool. Whatever. I don't hate it or love it. But again, I'm glad to not be trying to catch up with all those. That's fine. And even, you know what I didn't watch this year? Speaking of TV, and it's the time for it. And even this past week, I didn't. NFL. Watched very little NFL aside from the Lions this year. Didn't watch the championship games.
I watched the second one.
Did you?
Yeah. I caught the end of Brady. And I'm kind of with you.
I watched very little Monday night, Sunday night games.
I didn't either.
Well, when the Lions were out, I was done. When the Lions were mathematical, and that was only like two games, but I didn't watch those last two Lions games. And, I don't know. I don't know why I don't even want to tell you for 100% I'm watching the Super Bowl.
I probably will because
that's what you do.
What am I going to, that's a gig that night. What am I going to do?
Right.
Super Bowl
I have a
Sunday?
Gig or a date or something that I'd rather do, I may just do that instead of watching Super Bowl.
If I watch the Super Bowl, it's probably because I'm hanging out with people that I want to hang out with.
Or people got money on the game.
I could
Squares,
care less.
All that stuff,
I got no interest.
You're not hanging out with Sal.
No.
Sal's got money on everything.
Oh, yeah. Sal's.
He wants to come on around Super Bowl time, so maybe we'll have some
on the show. Talk about the Super Bowl and stuff.
Who to bet on?
Yeah, see, I don't know any of that lingo or any of that stuff.
In the past, Corey and I have done the prop bets.
Yeah,
we bet on the coin toss.
Those are fun.
First player to score even or odd jersey number. Will there be a 2-point conversion attempted? Look, wacky shit like that.
Right.
Tom Brady's first pass be an incompletion?
Right.
Weird shit like that.
That's fun to do.
Will there be an onside?
It's fun to talk about the game that way.
And, we would put like a buck on each of those. So we'd have $21 bets by the end of it.
Right.
You owed $3, because they all canceled each other out. So that was fun. But, not a lot of NFL. I know you and I went to a Lions game.
Yeah, that was great, man. That was a good time.
And we saw there, they were... Last season, not this one that just ended, but it was kind of a mirror image
16,
in a way.
Right.
Yeah, it was 16, and they were surging. And we went to big
Every
win
year,
for
man.
Them. And then I know you went to the big Thanksgiving game that year, and they looked like they were on their way. And then
I went Thanksgiving this year, and they lost to the Vikings.
Oh, man. So bad.
Dude, it's the definition of insanity.
Bad. Yeah. But here's the thing, the Vikings, and this is really why I should have watched the championship game, even though it ended up being a blowout. You know, the Vikings really blew it in a historical sense, because had they won,
they'd have been a home game.
The Super Bowl would be in their stadium, and that has never happened in the history of the NFL, to have the Super Bowl in your home stadium, and they were one game away from it, and they sucked, and they fucked up.
They laid down, man.
Yeah. I mean, Philly's a hard place to win. They were on the road, but, you know.
You know, and they got the best defense in the league. Well, look who they play.
Yeah.
Look at the NFC Central. Yeah. I mean, that's half their season is right there.
Beating up on the Bears.
Beating up on crap. Yeah. I mean, the NFC Central
and even
is crap.
The Packers without Aaron Rodgers.
Without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
I mean, they're our representative.
Yeah.
Our whole life.
Yeah. And that, and one team, the Niners played at Stanford one year. Well, they had the Super Bowl in a college stadium, and Stanford is the Bay Area,
right,
so
yeah.
They would have played in Candlestick Park, which would have been their home stadium, but they played at Stanford, so they sort of had home field. And
Oakland Raiders played in L.A. Coliseum, which isn't a home game, same state.
So, yeah, NFL, they just didn't get. And again, was I turned off by the kneeling? Was I turned off by. And yet, not really.
I was just turned off by the talk of that. Like,
I just wanted to turn that off. That is
a
thing,
I don't
want
to hear about what you're talking about.
Right. I never had interest. And we would talk about it on 9:10 a.m., you know, with Mike Bonner. I'm on there every Tuesday. I got to plug that.
I think that's an employer issue that I.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
You know, and I don't care.
And I'm a little libertarian when it comes to freedom. Stand, sit. Who gives a shit? I don't give a fuck. I mean, that's for me. It's like
but you can't do that in your job. You can't do whatever you want in your job at the Comedy Castle.
On the job,
that's
but
what
before
I mean.
The game.
Those guys are on the job.
By looking at it that way, you're right. You know, here's my thing. You know, this is an issue for me, and I'm like this with a lot of issues. You know, everybody can be right. You know, gun control,
sure.
You're all right. You know, the Bill of Rights gives you the right to own a weapon. You know, we'd probably be better off if we banned all the guns. You're not wrong either if that's your position. I don't know where to come down. You know, abortion might be wrong morally. I believe people probably should have freedom to, you know, a woman should have the freedom to choose. I don't know if you should kneel. I don't fucking know. I don't really care. But yeah, the rhetoric bores me.
Yeah,
it turns me off.
On every station. I mean,
so,
it was on the sports talk.
Yeah.
It was on the pop radio.
Yeah,
it's on,
ridiculous.
You know,
it's ridiculous.
Is there nothing else to talk about?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I like? I like college basketball. I'm excited for the college basketball season. You know, that's.
Could give a fuck.
You know?
But that.
I like
true.
The tournament.
Yeah,
I think
well,
the tournament time is exciting.
Guys getting into the tournament.
You know? And I don't bet on it, but it's fun to watch. I announce a lot of college basketball.
Yeah.
You know?
How's that going?
Good.
Good.
Good. Yeah, we're all right. I'm
Warriors,
Wade State.
You're wearing the hat.
Yeah, man.
Warriors. Go
we're doing
it.
All right. Men are doing
what
okay. Women are doing okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
We're not the top. We're not the bottom. We start out good, and then, you know.
A lot like the school.
Yeah. I love Wayne State. You went to Wayne State,
didn't
you?
I'm a graduate of Wayne State. I got a degree. Yeah. Cum laude, baby.
I don't have that. I get a paycheck every now and then.
And that's good, too.
I love Wayne State. I wish that was an opportunity that was I was enlightened to when I was younger.
Did you not go to college?
I did not finish college.
Finish college.
Mom said, find something you're good at. I dropped out of college three times.
You were good at
that.
I
was good at that.
All right. Well, Kevin Kramus, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks,
on
brother.
Joel Radio.
Thanks for calling
it's always
me,
good
man.
Talking.
Yeah,
good
man.
Thing. Anyway, we'll see you at Comedy Castle.
Next week at the
First
Comedy
week
Castle.
Of February with Joe DeVito. It's going to be, Joe is so funny.
Joe's very funny.
And Kevin is, you're the MC, and he's one of the best MCs you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And I know last time on the show, if you want to know more about MCing, we talked a lot about that on the last podcast you were here.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about MCing. You had great stories. So a lot of people listen to the show, want comedy advice, my students, people in comedy listen. The last show we did, whenever that was, get that if you want to know about MCing, because Kevin did a great job at that and is one of the best MCs you'll ever have.
Well, thanks, Joel.
No one's ever swung a mic stand at this man.
No. Hang on to it. I don't let it get out of your sight. I don't know how that guy did that.
And I was going to say, even if he did, it would go over your head because you're 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Hey!
Kevin Kramus, thank you so much.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to Joel Radio. We'll catch you next time. See you.